The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday evening's action in Ballinrobe. It's day two of their two-day July meeting, and tonight's an all-hurdles affair. Plenty of hurdles action to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thank you. Quite good stuff in Ballinrobe last night, and more to come this evening.
Yeah, just a couple of winners, but could have done a bit better. But I really like my chances tonight. That's not the kiss of death, but I think there's several particularly that have run well around this track of late that if they run anywhere near the level that they showed on that occasion, might go in again.
Okay, good stuff. And Ballinrobe, it's a bit of a track that you need a bit of experience around, isn't it?
Yeah, I found that. Yeah, if in doubt, always go for the course and distance horses. It's a sharp right-handed track. Obviously, it's got a very unique hairpin home bend. Horses need to be quite speedy, pacey, adaptable to that. And, you know, that's why you get winners coming back time and time again.
OK. Let's get stuck into the action then. The first race is the 5:45 this evening. And we start with a maiden hurdle over 2 miles and one furlong. And whilst there's a couple of horses in here that have the experience, the likes of Elish Paw and Idlewild, it's Race Creek that's likely to be near the top of the betting. Interesting on his flat form and the fact that he has run round this course on the flat as well, Andy. From the Jessica Harrington stable as well, so you'll expect that he'll be pretty well schooled coming into this on his maiden hurdle. Do you see him as one of the likely winners?
I do, yeah. Yeah, he looks head and shoulders above this lot, really. If he can negotiate his way around here, of course, 8 flights of hurdles to take on, but that shouldn't be a problem. I much prefer horses making their debuts over the brush hurdles than I would normal conventional timber hurdles. They're just less of an obstacle to overcome. And Race Creek, you know, should, in theory, make mincemeat of this lot, really, if he does indeed just that, because, you know, he's rated 89 on the flat. I think he's a good, genuine 85-plus horse. He's got some very good numbers next to his name on the level. And he beat a good guideline on his last start in the maiden here at Ballinrobe in the shape of Dallasari, who, of course, has gone on to win subsequently. Won a very good maiden, funny enough, on the flat at the Currax. I think he dead-heated with Gypsy King, but obviously going to record books as a win. Jessica Harrington's horses in general are in good form. And since he's had the hood on this horse, he just seems to have calmed down. It seems to have just pacified him and helped him settle. That was the problem in his early days. He was just a bit too keen and a bit too exuberant, and he was just not quite getting home and seeing out his race. You've only got to go 3 starts back to look at what he actually achieved in a good maiden down in Ferry House. He was second to Venus de Milo, who's, you know, rated in the 120s now. So, you know, he should really be Elish Paw and Idlewild, the other two with bits and pieces of hurdle form, but their sort of figures wouldn't be good enough to cope with Race Creek, of course, providing he can jump a clear round.
Okay, Race Creek then in the open, and the 6:15 is race 2 on the card, and this is another maiden hurdle over 2 miles and one furlong, and Alton Bay is the one that comes into this in winning form, won a bumper over this course last time, which is always good news at Ballinrobe. Decent enough effort over hurdles as well on his first try when finishing 4th at Roscommon. A bit unlucky in running on that occasion, Andy. Do you think that benefit of experience will stand him in good stead here?
Yeah, I'm absolutely flabbergasted that this horse is being chalked up roughly around about the 5-2 stroke, 3-1 mark. William Hill, at the time of recording, haven't priced it up yet, but there's 6 or 7 other firms that have gone at least 5-2, and most of them are 3-1. So if we're getting in and around that kind of price, I think we're going to be in for a bit of a bonus here, because I'd have this horse down in as a fairly short price favourite. I must admit, I agree with the Racing Post sentiments, and would have had him in at least 5-2, if not shorter. I was hugely impressed with his win the other day. I actually didn't fancy him. I tipped something else in that bumper. And, you know, Alton Bay made me eat humble pie, to be perfectly honest, with lots of hot custard to go with it. I don't know where he found that from, to be fair, because up till then he'd looked a little bit one-paced and as if he was never, ever going to win a race. But, God, he was whatever happened to him that day, he's just come of age. And the fact that it was at this track as well, that might have just been the key to him. He obviously had been waiting for a sharp right-handed track, and he literally flew around these bends and skipped his way home in the latter part of that race. We know he can also operate over hurdles as well. He's already jumped these brush hurdles quite proficiently down in Roscommon when he was fourth behind Owen and the Book, who runs later on the card. And he's also got Johnny Burke on as well. I've extolled the virtues of this conditional in the last few podcasts, and he takes a valuable five off as well, which might well come in handy. He's obviously got little Rocky and Sebuano to think about, but Sebuano has had quite a few chances. I think little Rocky actually might turn out to be the danger, even though the market says differently. That third behind Elamir at Roscommon the other day was really good. 8-8 and Moss Street are both won subsequently out of that race, and that was a very good time. And with the Desi Hughes camping good form, I think he's the one most likely to trouble Alton Bay. But I do think Alton Bay is very much the one to beat, despite the rather generous-looking 3-1 price this morning.
OK, Alton Bay, the one to beat then in the 6.15. The 6.50 is the next race, and this is the Connaught Rugby Handicap Hurdle, named after the rugby team who have been training at Ballinrobe, so I'm sure there'll be quite a bit of interest there. It's over 2 miles and one furlong, and we've got a couple of last-time-out winners in here. Swanty K, who got the better of House Limit last time, that one to reoppose here. We've also got surprise winner Alwyn Brook, who sprung a 40-1 surprise in a maiden hurdle last time. Do you see it between those three, Andy, or is there something else in the race?
No, there isn't, no. I must admit, I thought Swanty K was a really good bet here. If we can get somewhere in and around the 2-1 mark, I think that's a fair enough bit of business for Gordon Elliott's 5-year-old, who found some form from left field last time out at Downpatrick. I think it was a day when Gordon Elliott had three winners on the card, and his horse is still remaining good form. He could have a good night here tonight as well, Gordon. The time of this horse that he achieved on that occasion down in Downpatrick was quite sensational for a horse of his grade. He posted not only the fastest overall time, but his final circuit, 2 minutes 11.9, was much quicker than three of the horses on that card who got higher ratings. For instance, Moss Street, who is rated 110, he ran 2 minutes 13. Or Gilgo Bay, who's rated 127, recorded a time of 2 minutes 18. And Wandering Agus, who won a race later on the card, did 2 minutes 15. So he was a good two seconds plus ahead of horses much higher rated than him. So if he runs to that same level, he's clearly got quite a bit in hand here, even though the handicap has had a little bit of a say and put him up £8. But I don't think that's anywhere near high enough to stop this horse winning again. He should get the better House Limit. Hopefully Owen de Brook will prove that run down in Roscommon the other day was a flash in the pan. And I'm going to go with Swanty K. I think he's a step ahead of the handicapper.
OK. Onto the 7.20 next, and this is a hurdle over 2.5 miles. And we've got Riverside City and Grand Partner, who are likely to be near the top of the betting. And it's probably going to be priced up a little bit of a match between those two. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, there's one or two you could throw into the mix. I Hate Till Late's been running quite well throughout the summer jumping period. Of course, up on the hill, won the other day down in Roscommon in quite good fashion. But I think the two classier horses have found their way to the top of the market quite rightly. And I'll go with Riverside City to maintain Gordon Elliott's really good run of late. He was a smooth winner down in Garran the other day when he fought off Giver back in the latter stages, and that horse has run well subsequently in defeat. Meldrum Lad, who was fourth, he's won on his next start. So the form of that race is beginning to work out well. It was the first time that Riverside City had decent ground to run on, and I think that's why Gordon Elliott's looking to press on with him throughout the summer jumping campaign. Most of his runs over the winter period were all on soft ground, and being a son of presenting, he rather got his feet stuck in the mud on more than one occasion. So I think he's a project that Gordon would like to take advantage of now. And he's around about 7-4 this morning, which would seem fair enough. Grand Partner looks to be the danger. He finally got off the mark over hurdles last time out down in Cork, where he justified his market position. But this is a little bit of a tougher test up against Riverside City, who hopefully can go in again.
OK, Riverside City then to score in the 7.20. The 7.50 is race 5 on the card, and this is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles, and I See Gold down at the bottom of the weights there. Looks interesting. She won a point-to-point two starts ago and then moved to Gordon Elliott and made a winning start for that yard. And did you see further progress in her?
Yeah, she looked quite a nice mare when she won down in Downpatrick. She was quite solid in the market, and she beat, you know, a field full of horses that have got previously decent good form down in that venue. So, you know, she's at least proved that now she can react well under rules. Prior to that, she won a point-to-point. We know she stays well. She's dropping back down in trip here, however, and she might be up against one or two pacey sorts. The price of the day for me, or the price of the night, could well turn out to be this Fetard Player, a horse that I tipped the other day in Killarney, or I suggested we have two against the third. Obviously, I napped the winner that day, Giant's Quest, and you know, was quite keen on his chance, but I also quite like Fetard Player's chances, and unfortunately, this horse never got further than the fifth when Sizing Machine fell awkwardly, and unfortunately, this seven-year-old ran into that horse's path and had to obviously take evasive action and thus dumped Robbie Moran on the turf. Prior to that, this horse was massively impressive here at this track, and this is why I think this horse has got a gilt-edged opportunity tonight. This horse was literally always cantering in that race on the 24th of June, run at a strong pace. He took the running going down the back straight, and he never ever looked in danger of defeat from that point onwards. The race has worked out incredibly well. Horses like Elsie and Aaron Hill Chief have both gone on to subsequently boost the form, and they were absolutely lapped by this horse on that occasion. He won by 13 lengths, but he could have doubled that distance had Ian McCarthy let him loose in the latter stages. Interestingly that connections here have dropped him down in grade from that 0-130 of the day, and what they've done, they put Shane Shortall on to take seven off. So effectively, this horse is actually only running off a £6 higher mark in a much lower graded race than he ran in last time out. And I think we should take advantage of this. I think this horse should be near enough favourite here. I know Icy Gold is useful, but Penny's Tune, for instance, is chalked up a shorter price with some funds this morning. That horse refused to race last time out, and there's a good chance that horse, having done that the other day, might just do that again. Muzak's knocking on a bit, and he's got to prove that he stays beyond 2.5 miles. So I'm amazed that this horse is anywhere near that price. If he, like I say, if he's 5-1 or bigger on the William Hill markets this morning, you should absolutely smash into this horse. I think he'll go off nearly favourite and hopefully justify the nap.
Okay, nap selection then, Fetard Player for Andy in the 7.50. Very confident sounding Andy there. On to the penultimate race, the 8.20 this evening, and this is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles with 16 of them in the lineup, and it's going to be competitive stuff here, Andy. Who'd you like for the penultimate race?
Well, in these occasions, I just try and play with a straight bat and not do anything too stupid, really. I just go for horses who run well at the course before. An upset steps at Supreme Vic, a horse who has got a couple of blobs on its dance card, tracks away from a tight right-handy ones. Obviously, Cork last time out didn't suit this mare, but if you strip down her form of late, then you're left with two really good pieces of form, a second and a first at this track, and that win, of course, come back in April under similar conditions to tonight. 2.5 miles, good ground, and with Shane Shortall on board. Obviously, that combination team up again here. And I just think, you know, looking at a horse's profile and seeing the obvious signs that it likes a course like this is often pace to heed. And you're looking at around about 10 or 12 to 1 this morning. There's quite clearly one or two others that have also got some good track form. Barney King, of course, is a huge surprise winner here last time out. Whether he can do that again, I wouldn't be so sure. And a few others have got some, you know, half-decent claims as well. He's the top. Forget and Forgive, of course, racing first time for Desi Hughes, are also thrown into the mix. But Supreme Vic could be just slightly overlooked here because of that bad run last time out. But coming back to Ballinrobe might just be the sort of kick in the right direction she needs.
Okay, Supreme Vic then in the 8.20, and the final race this evening is the 8.50. We finish with a 2 mile, 1 furlong bumper, and Run Fly Run and Rathmuck Native were second and third over this course and distance 28 days ago, and they reopposed this evening. Throwing to the mix, Cliffside Parker was a good third at Downpatrick in the form, and that race is working out, and we've got quite an interesting closer here, Andy. Who do you like for the 8.50?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Run Fly Run here. You know, she wasn't unlucky to get beat here last time out. She had every chance, but in the end, Dancing Meadows just proved too strong in the latter stages of that race. And obviously Gordon Elliott's charge, you know, looks quite useful, but I didn't think Run Fly Run did anything wrong in defeat. You know, she seems quite genuine. And the fact that she's had two runs around this track as well, I think might just stand her in good stead. It might well be that Rathmuck Native is the one that she has most to think about. Peter Fahey's charge certainly gave her its best on that occasion. But I think on this slightly better ground tonight, hopefully this mare by Kalanisi, Run Fly Run, will finally put a one in front of those two placed efforts.
Okay, Run Fly Run then in the lucky last. Let's just have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, obviously we're dealing with no prices as I'm recording this, but hopefully we should get a bit of value flying around by the time the podcast goes on the website. Race Creek in the first race looks like being around a 6-4, 7-4 chance, and that would seem a fair enough price for a horse who has got a touch of class. In the 6-15, Alton Bay, the top weight here, with Johnny Burke on board, makes plenty of appealing around the 5-2 mark there in that 6-15. Swanta K was absolutely hugely impressive on the speed figures the other day down in Downpatrick, and hopefully he can handle this track and follow up. Riverside City could provide another winner on the night for Gordon Elliott. And the nap of the night by an absolute country mile is this Fetar player. What this horse is doing at 5-6-1 this morning, I have no idea. He'd be my strongest bet, and the nap on the card. In the 8-20, I'm going to go with Course and Distance veteran Supreme Vic. And in the 8-50, hopefully it's another one for Willie Mullins in another one of these summer jumping bumper races.
All right, nice one. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy it in Ballin Road this evening.
Will do. Thanks, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.